before.
Yeah, the wording I probably heard me use was oscillation versus vacillation. And you probably went to the analogy you know about the guitar string.
Right.
And the a vacillation is switching from one side, switching to the other. Dramatic swings. You're vacillating all the way to one side, all the way to the other. An oscillation is a higher frequency. Is where you're actually starting to do each much more often. Not a vacillation, but really aware quickly of the two sides. With a vacillation, you ignore one side to go all the way to the other. With an oscillation, you're really respecting them equally. And so this is must happen on your spiritual path. You can't deny your body, time, and space, because that's a vacillation.
Nor would you want to deny an emotion that appears in your mental continuum that's disingenuous. In fact, you say, oh, this is me briefly experiencing a wave of anger. I know this. And then that, you know, I recognize it. And then I choose to release it by thinking about something else. And then I relax, you know, take a breath in, re-smile, return to my object.
Don't follow it into the depths of its darkness if you prefer light. You don't follow it into the depths of its darkness. That will be a complete vacillation to one side, ignoring the light, getting very depressed or shut down or ignoring the fact that you have been free, and you know from your holy instances in your life and your coursework for sure, you have been able to become free, if even only for a moment. All of you have had those moments. You've been able to choose freedom, even when things weren't quite as free as you like. But you did it anyway. And you just went, that's better.
I'm on the very first page of my first lesson in the workbook. What is the line, Andrew? Nothing I see means anything?
Yes.
Okay. And after about my fourth time through the workbook, it just hit me in the forehead. You know, January 1st, I said, this is a tremendous relief.
Beautiful. That's how it works.
And the previous times, I never got a sense of relief. I was like, huh? You know?
Beautiful.
And this time it was like, oh, thank goodness, nothing I see means anything. You know? It's like, oh.
That means you're paying attention. Beautiful, Tim. That's exactly how it works. It's fighting words, but because you've invested in the text and you appreciate the authority and the beauty of the language, you kind of do the workbook lessons with a little bit of argument, perhaps. But
I do.
But devotion, because there's something good there.
Yeah.
And then you eventually, you bet that fourth time, and you go, wow, it's a relief. And what occurred to me at some point along the path is I went, you know, back around and I look at that first lesson. Nothing I see means anything. And I go, oh my God, that's the last lesson. The first lesson is the last lesson. Of course it means nothing.
Right.
How can it mean something? So, yeah, that's really good. Very good, Tim. Very, very
Thank
good.
You.
Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. We're going to start a new section tonight. This section, Fear to Look Within, it's called, is a pretty high-level discussion, really. I mean, you could read it in a pretty simple way, too, but it's a pretty high-level discussion because it's pointing at the essential block that keeps you from being free, from choosing freedom and actually acting from the love which you are. You kind of wondered that, you know, it says, well, the Course says that you are love. Chapter 6, teach only love, for that is what you are. Great, great sentence. Love it. Finally, I've been found out by the Course of Miracles. I'm love. Why don't I feel it? Why don't I feel it all the time, you might ask? Why am I not constant in the reflecting love with not a care? After all, if I'm love, love doesn't have a care. It equally cares for everything, and it fears nothing. Why am I not that way, you might say? That's a very fair question. So, what we're about to read is a glimpse into our addiction and into our belief. And I go stronger than that. It's really something that you know that's not true, but you know it and you trust it and you follow it, even though it's not true. And this section, the fear to look within, tries to gently touch on this self that you've become accustomed to and that you become accustomed to owning it. It's your home. You don't want to be displaced from your home. And so, Course Elsewhere says on this kind of topic that you're not aware. Because of your sleeping state and because of how busy you are being a human, because you're so busy being a human, because of that, you're not aware of your misery. Chapter 14, remember the happy learner? He said, first you who are steadfastly devoted to misery, this is a quote, must realize that you're miserable. Otherwise, you will not change. And that's why we say the fear to look within. You will not change. There's good news for sure, but there's also some seriously bad news that we have to look at so that you can unhook your devotion to everything of the world. And then you can pick it back up, but you can pick it up freely. There's no need to throw the world out. No need to throw anything out except for the idea of fear and loss and you being a separate being. So we'll start looking into that. It's like I say, can be a very high level section, or it's just on a lower level, it is just an invitation to do a simple introspection, which of course in the beginning of a spiritual path you probably do none. It's versatile, but I'll point out a few of the super potent passages, and we'll see how you like them. So let's just take a minute and arrive now at this time where we get to have Jesus. We're going to read a whole section. So we're going to read paragraph after paragraph, and you'll see the message. You'll see it. It's in here many times. And you'll see the high messages, and you'll see the low messages. And so I just invite you for a moment to go still and be prepared to receive something once again. But it has come from beyond this world, folks. This Course in Miracles message, I'm sure you're convinced. I am. This is a gift from beyond the world. Yeah. Let's receive it. So take a moment just to open your mind and fall into the love that is presented to you with A Course in Miracles. The love that is presented to you as your home. Just take a moment. Put down everything of the world for a moment. Are you breathing? Are you breathing? Or is your body breathing? Just let it breathe. Receive that free supply of air that's balanced in the atmosphere. So far, your whole life is just freely available and your body knows what to do with it. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. How easy. Don't have to worry about that at all. Appreciate not only the free supply of air, but appreciate also that your heart just does what it needs to do. Thump, 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 thump. Pushing and pulling blood around just right. Pulling in some of that, absorbing some of that air through another organ. Oh, it's perfect. 60,000 miles of circulation in your 60,000 miles of circulation in your body. And, you know, it's just all there waiting and waiting to be used and taking care of business. Even as you just sit here quietly. But I hope you're sitting here in appreciation for what is given you. Even just so you can sit here in the form you think you are as a body. Even now, as a body, you are loved. You are provided for. It's not a mistake. It's actually wonderfully working. Just right now, focus on right now. It's working. Wonderful. Receive that. Not a mistake. And before we close, just take another thought, would you? As we're enjoying the breathing and the heart beating, the myriad things that are simultaneously occurring, all free, all automatic, amazingly designed. Eva, we sit here allowing our mind to just rest in this appreciation. Did you ever think, did the thought ever occur to you that whatever set the timing on your heart and the absorption of the oxygen and everything is still here with you now, caring for you in the same way as you were created? Not a mistake. You've not been abandoned. Has that ever occurred to you? That whatever allowed all this to come together is still watching it, working it. Especially if you are aware that there's no time in reality, then you know this must be true. You are actually at home. You're using your mind to dream of exile. And for as powerful as it is, you'll get exactly what you wish. that bell work?
Yeah. Good. We saw your screen share briefly when we were in the file.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, there's a way to share just the sound. I'll Google that later. So before we jump in, anybody want to comment about your meditation and your thoughts?
I'm not sure what I was doing, but it was very peaceful.
Good. Good. Good.
I'm not sure if I was doing what you were.
You are loved. You are loved and you are being lived. Your heart is beating and you're breathing and everything's working. And this is the way you are being lived. It's only your thoughts about it that block your awareness of the love, even here in this fantastic adventure into bodies. It is not a sin. It's just your thoughts, see, your creative participation to go even deeper and give meaning to things that they don't have. And here you are. Turn to page 454 in the text.
I was going to say, during the meditation, it became evident again that I live from right here.
Oh, yes.
And it's really painful.
Yes. Very good. And no mistake. No mistake, Jason, that you live from there, that it's painful is one of the effects of your freedom to live from right there. But also, there have been times in your life, there have been moments in your life, and I'm talking about your life, Jason, because I know something about it. There have been some pretty freaking amazing moments in your life where from here, in between your ears, some things have come out of you that have left impressions on people for their entire life. You know what I'm talking about. Beautiful, deep communication of things that you just can't use words. You can't use a book. You have to do what you did in the Smithsonian Institute and everything else that got involved. But that's you just not letting go. And that came from here, right? And you can do that because of the freedom you've chosen. And part of the cost of giving you that much power is that, of course, you can up use it, down use it sideways, overthink things, give things meaning and don't have it. Yeah. True for all of us. What A Course in Miracles is just a touch of sanity into the insanity that you are playing with only because you've found a way to block love's presence. Otherwise, there would be no need for help from your brother. And even the need for help from your brother is not because you actually are in danger. It's just to speed you back to where the mind truly wants to be. That's all. Let's do it. Let's speed back to where we truly want to be. But we have to face a fear, which we made, by the way. Fear. All right, let's dig in on this section and start getting Jesus to weigh in on this whole amazing journey. 454 in your text, the fear to look within. And Luann, please, would you begin reading for us paragraph 1? Jacqueline, you're next.
The fear to look within. The Holy Spirit will never teach you that you are sinful. Errors he will correct, but this makes no one fearful. You are indeed afraid to look within and see the sin you think is there. This you would not be fearful to admit. Fear in association with sin, the ego deems quite appropriate, and it smiles approvingly. There's no fear to let you feel ashamed. It doubts not your belief in faith and sin. Its temples do not shake because of this. Your faith that sin is there but witnesses to your desire that it be there to see this, to see. This merely seems to be the source of fear.
We'll unpack that. He's really pointing out something that is so obvious from the awakened about the sleeping. But we'll dig into that when we get there. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you please read for us paragraph 2?
Remember that the ego is not alone. Its rule is tempered, and its unknown enemy, whom it cannot even see, it fears. Loudly the ego tells you not to look inward, for if you do, your eyes will light on sin, and God will strike you blind. This you believe, and so you do not look. Yet this is not the ego's hidden fear, nor yours who serve it. Loudly indeed the ego claims it is, too loudly and too often. For underneath this constant shout and frantic proclamation, the ego is not certain it is so. Beneath your fear to look within because of sin is yet another fear, and one which makes the ego tremble.
Before we go on, I want you to recognize that a key word she used there was hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this, as obvious as it may be, is not the ego's hidden fear. Yeah. There's more. Timothy, would you read for us paragraph 3?
What if you looked within and saw no sin? This fearful question is one the ego never asks.
So here we have a hidden fear. And this is the section title is The Fear to Look Within. And Tim is reading this potent paragraph. Please start over, Tim.
What if you looked within and saw no sin? This fearful question is one the ego never asks. And you who ask it now are threatening the ego's whole defensive system too seriously for it bothered to pretend it is your friend. Those who have joined their brothers have detached themselves from their belief that their identity lies in the ego. A holy relationship is one in which you join with what is part of you in truth, and your belief in sin has already been shaken. Nor are you now entirely unwilling to look within and see it not.
Thank you. Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4?
Your liberation still is only partial, still limited and incomplete, yet born within you.
Oh, man, we got to slow down because here it comes. This is where I said, you know, you can take this shallow or you can take it deep. And this is where Jesus is going to deliver some insight into the blocks that you yourself have made. Please, Deborah, start over.
Your liberation still is only partial, still limited and incomplete, yet born within you. Not wholly mad, you have been willing to look on much of your insanity and recognize its madness. Your faith is moving inward, past insanity and on to reason. And what your reason tells you now the ego would not hear. The Holy Spirit's purpose was accepted by the part of your mind the ego knows not of. No more did you. And yet this part with which you now identify is not afraid to look upon itself. It knows no sin. How otherwise could it have been willing to see the Holy Spirit's purpose as its own?
So would you start in the middle of the paragraph and just read that second half again, starting with paragraph 5, and finish a paragraph again.
The Holy Spirit's purpose was accepted by the part of your mind the ego knows not of. No more did you.
Hold it.
Yeah, so.
Hold it. Just let that sink in for a second. No more did you.
But you is not capitalized. So how is it different than the ego?
Well, you and the ego and anything that's not your awakened mind, the dreamer of the dream.
Okay.
Your chosen investment in yourself is this lowercase you. And when it's capitalized, it doesn't need any learning at all. So that's the careful razor's edge we're walking right here. Jesus is threading a needle, and we're going to do some fine stitching with your awakening in this section. If you're open to it, this is an amazing gift and an invitation. It's one of the passages in A Course in Miracles that it goes a little beyond the curriculum. You know, it's not really important that you get this. Don't try too hard. But I just want to give you every chance possible to see the depth that this darn book goes. The depth is phenomenal. So would you begin again with sentence 5, and I won't interrupt you this time.
You can if you want to. The Holy Spirit's purpose was accepted by the part of your mind the ego knows not of. No more did you. And yet this part with which you now identify is not afraid to look upon itself.
Okay, I will interrupt you then, since you invited me to. And see, it says, and yet this part with which you now identify, you healing Son of God, you walker of the path to light, you awakening, lightening being, you lost sheep who has returned, turning back toward the flock, you prodigal son who has turned back toward home, you, that's the you now. Still lowercase. However you now identify with your home instead of the wild adventure you've been on to leave home. You see, please continue.
It knows no sin. How otherwise could it have been willing to see the Holy Spirit's purpose as its own?
And you know, elsewhere, some of the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles is that love only knows love, and fear only knows of fear and defense, and the two do not actually ever cross. Okay. We'll get to that paragraph eventually. So, Jason, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 5?
Can you hear me all right?
Sounds good.
Okay. This part has seen your brother and recognized him perfectly since time began. And it desired nothing but to join with him to be free again, as once it was. It has been waiting for the birth of freedom, the acceptance of release, to come to you. And now you recognize that it was not the ego that joined the Holy Spirit's purpose. And so there must be something else. Think not this is madness. For this, your reason tells you, and it follows perfectly from what you have already learned.
This is an invitation an invitation for you to recognize part of your mind that is awakening and is not your ego. Can look on your ego, even independently, as a dream that it is. Celebrate. If this makes any sense to you, celebrate. Okay, and Ross, I got your mute. Would you go for paragraph 6, please?
There is no inconsistency in what the Holy Spirit teaches. This is the reasoning of the saying. You have perceived the ego's madness and not been made afraid because you did not choose to share in it. At times it still deceives you, yet in your saner moments its ranting strikes no terror in your heart, for you have realized that all the gifts it would withdraw from you in rage at your presumptuous wish to look within, you do not want. A few remaining trinkets will still seem to shine and catch your eye. Yet you would not sell heaven to have them.
Luann, back to you. I got your mute. Paragraph 7, please.
And now the ego is afraid. And now the ego is afraid. Yet what it hears in terror, the other part hears as the sweetest music. The sound it longed to hear since first the ego came into the mind. The ego's weakness is its strength. The song.
Stop in that first sentence and appreciate what she just said for a moment before we continue to the rest of this paragraph. She says, Luann, would you read the first and second paragraph again for us?
You mean the first and second line?
A line, yeah, thank you.
And now the ego is afraid.
Bingo.
Yet what it hears in terror, the other part, hears as the sweetest music, the song it longed to hear since the ego first came into its mind.
You have to have a little spiritual awakening for that sentence to make any sense. Still, you're devoted and drowning and surrounded by ego in the world. But part of you is not. And that's Tim touched on that. When he looked at the first lesson, nothing I see means anything. Oh, yes, thanks for the permission. It's great news. Good, good, good. Please continue.
The ego's weakness is its strength. The song of freedom, which sings the praises of another world, brings to it hope of peace. For it remembers heaven, and now it sees that heaven has come to earth at last, from which the ego's rule has kept it out so long. Heaven has come because it found a home in your relationship on earth, and earth can hold no longer what has been given heaven as its own.
Mm-hmm. And Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you go for paragraph 8?
Can I just say one little thing?
Oh, yeah, please. Absolutely.
This whole thing is making me feel very happy.
Oh, good, Luann. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, good, good.
Okay. Look gently on your brother and remember the ego's weakness is revealed in both your sight. But it would keep apart, has met and joined, and looks upon the ego unafraid. Little child, innocent of sin, follow in gladness the way to certainty. Be not held back by fear's insane insistence that sureness lies in doubt. This has no meaning. What matters it to you how loudly it is proclaimed? The senseless is not made meaningful by repetition and by clamor. The quiet way is open. Follow it happily and question not what must be so.
And question not what must be so. Good, good. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. So let's go back to 454, paragraph 1. And I got your mute, Tim. Would you read for us paragraph 1 again?
The Holy Spirit will never teach you that you are sinful. Errors he will correct. But this makes no one fearful. You are indeed afraid to look within and see the sin you think is there. This you would not be fearful to admit. Fear in association with sin, the ego deems quite appropriate, smiles approvingly. It has no fear to let you feel ashamed. It doubts not your belief and faith in sin. Its temples do not shake because of this. Your faith that sin is there, what witnesses to your desire that it be there to see? This merely seems to be the source of fear.
Oh, man. We got to unwrap this clever wording that's, again, busting the ego. Jacqueline, yeah, so your hand is up. What do you got?
Well, I'm wondering if this merely seems to be the source of fear. So that fear, if I'm understanding, is covering up the original fear of the separation, fear that comes from the separation. That's subconscious and hidden from us. Is that how I'm reading it?
Yes, that's one way to look at it. And another way is to be aware that fear cannot have a source. Fear is a real-time dream. It was not created, therefore it does not last. So you know, in a way, you can recognize the unreality. There's another way to look at it. So one is saying, yep, that there's a source of fear that is beyond what you're willing to look at. And then another level is to recognize that fear is just another dream, a sleight of hand, sleight of mind. Give it not even a second thought. So just FYI. Good.
So the hidden fear, you know, or maybe it's the hidden guilt. You know, there's always the talk about that deep in the, you know, and the Holy Spirit's the only one can help us release that and are doing all the undoing. So that's just part of the illusion too, I guess.
There's a hidden fear that all that you've been working on so diligently to protect did not need protecting. Would not stand your own choice for it if you were to make a choice. That there is no ability for you to lose, even facing God after the shenanigans you pulled with believing you're a body. What if there's not even a problem with that? You see, we become very attached to being separate. Luann.
Well, I'm trying to understand that first paragraph. The rest of this part feels, I think I understand, but this first paragraph gets me. And I'm just wondering whether what we're trying to do as an ego, that the ego says we can't do, is correct ourselves, correct our reasoning for having a fear. And what I'm hearing this say is we don't need to do that because it's just a dream anyway. True?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true too. It's definitely also true. But the biggest hidden fear that the ego has, especially now that you're identifying with a part that can hear the Holy Spirit, is for the ego to let go of its own striving. The fear to look within is the ego's fear to discover that it is not. And it's not needed. and all the things that it does is not valued. Part of you now can easily accept that with joy. With joy. Part of you rejects that instantly, saying, no, I'm me, and I can't stand the idea of losing my being. You're so drunk on being separate that you have lost sight of your true being. You've even been willing to give up love with a capital L in order to have your little being survive. Luann.
So when we go in deep and recognize our fear, we don't have to find a way not to have fear. We just have to find a way to realize there is no such thing as whatever we were fearful of.
That's correct. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, is a very, very deep statement. Because, of course, the saying, when you look within, really look within with the Holy Spirit now, not, you know, with the Holy Spirit, and have your ego participate and try to challenge you, you will see that the fear does not have a source. It does not have a power. Even though you felt it all your life, in fact, it's carved you and made you, and it's given you all sorts of modus operandi and motivation and definition and a sense of right and wrong, and it's built the whole world, you see. This is the trusted friend that you must now turn your back on. That's the fear to look within. Jesus knows it's not real. Jesus is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book. Part of your mind can hear that when you adjust your mind dial to the right frequency. That's what Course in Miracles is. Then you can hear the truth. And he's saying, if you take me with you, if you take everything I'm teaching you in this book, and you look within to the root of your fears and the biggest fears that you can have, I will help you see that fear itself cannot have a source. It is a dream. It does have no power. And so what the funky thing that happens, which is touched on in paragraph 4 and 5, the funky thing that happens is that you're at the same time fretting and celebrating. Part of you is going, whoa, 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 this is a little scary. Part of you is going, oh, thank God. I want freedom so badly. I don't even know what to do if I had it, but I want it. I don't want to be bound anymore. I don't want to continue to trust fear and live by it. Jason, you want to mention something?
Yeah, I was thinking that, holding hands and going down and looking at my fear with the ego, and realizing you can't be a victim when there's no fear.
Very good. Very good. You make a very poor victim without fear. Good job. Meditate on that. Excellent, excellent. You know, before we dig in to that first paragraph, let's just go look at workbook page 454. Coincidentally, it's the same page in the workbook that we're on in the text. And look at lesson 309. I mean, you kind of wonder if Jesus isn't playing around a little bit with his powers. So this isn't to be missed. Let's have Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read the entire lesson 309 for us?
I will not fear to look within today. Within me is eternal innocence, because it is God's will that it be there forever and forever. I, his son, whose will is limitless as his own, can will no change in this. For to deny my Father's will is to deny my own. To look within is but to find my will as God created it and as it is. I fear to look within because I think I made another will that is not true and made it real, yet it has no effects. Within me is the holiness of God. Within me is the memory of Him. The steps I take today, my Father, is my sure release from idle dreams of sin. Your altar stands serene and undefiled. It is the holy altar to myself, and there I find my true identity.
Beautiful. Thank you. Doesn't this lesson work perfectly with what we're studying in the text right now? It's like 1,000 pages later. Huh. Within me, you're studying this all day. Within me is capital E eternal, capital I innocence. Sounds like he means it. Yep. That's why Helen capitalized it. She got this sense that, wow, this is an absolute nature.
Mine's not
going to have a capital
I. Yeah, mine's not.
Oh, really? I'll tell you, that's I'm going to make a note. There's a version of the Course in Miracles that was published by an alternate publisher, and there's a couple instances like this where there was edits and corrections made between. So fascinating.
It makes sense that it would be capitalized.
Yeah, it just shows you how much detail and work that there goes into getting this book right. Between the first edition and the second edition, a couple of pages got stuck together during the retyping for the publishing, and they just got left out. Whoops.
Oh, God.
But this stuff is so redundant and consistent that people just shook their heads and said, another Course in Miracles paragraph change.
There are sections in the Bible where you get a couple paragraphs that are literally repeated verbatim, one after the next. And that's because the monks screwed up, got tired, beautifully illustrated a couple paragraphs, and then the next day came back and did it all over again. And the cost of redoing it was so huge in man hours and vellum and, gold, whatever, that they just said, forget it, let it fly, we're not going to do it over.
That's so great. Thanks for that. Yeah.
And it seems obvious to me that eternal innocence has to be a factor of our being as God.
Yeah. They're powerful words. Yeah. Powerful words. And then it says, why? Within me is eternal innocence, is your pronouncement. And then it tells you why. Because it is God's will. Again, capitalized in my book is the word G for God's, W for will, and I for it. Is your it capitalized?
No, the it is not.
How about that?
No, mine is
now.
It's so interesting. So that's a lot for one lesson. Usually it's just one word. So my publication is August 1992. Second edition, second printing. What is yours?
It's third edition I'm looking at.
Yeah, the one you sold to me is third edition.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. The third edition, they took the caps out?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Wow, that's 25 years later than mine was published. Yeah. Well, that is fascinating.
I'll let you read it with us.
I have a second edition. It's capitalized. Third edition, it is not. Third edition is copyright 2007.
Yep.
I think that's when they put all three books together, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. And they used the, they had to use a publisher manuscript. They had to pick one. They had a couple copies that Helen Bill prepared, and they picked one, and that's what went into the third edition. And I suppose they had either reasons or no reasons at all.
Didn't Ken Wapnick have a lot to do with capitalization and organization into chapters and redaction of text that was considered to be too personal?
Surprisingly little.
Oh, okay.
He was around right after they did most. And Bill is the one that came in and said, "Ah, Helen, we got to clean this up." And they fought tooth and nail, and Helen agreed totally with some and not with others. And then Ken came in and settled arguments at the end of all of that. Okay. He himself didn't actually, Helen said nobody would be allowed, not even, especially not me, an outsider at that time, to mess with A Course in Miracles. No way, no how. This was Helen's book.
Thank you for that background.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I got to reread that whole story. Yeah. Okay, so beautifully said is within me is eternal innocence. Because it's God's will that it be there forever and forever. I, who am I? God's son? Whose will is limitless as God's own? Can will no change in this? For to deny my Father's will is to deny my own will. And that doesn't make any sense at all. But that only comes when you're listening with your Holy Spirit. As you open your spiritual eye and you recognize that the will is, has to be the same.
Okay.
To look within. Remember the section we're reading? Fear to look within. Wow. To look within is but to find my will. Find my will, but as God created it, as truth created it, as it was before, as it will be forever, based on love. In fact, an extension of love. In fact, a job description of love. So different from this world of death and loss where you find yourself today as a body. I fear to look within.
It's almost illogical to say that we're an extension of God and we don't have the same will.
Yes.
You can't be the same as God if you don't have the same will.
That's right. There's a problem with that. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes. Good. Good. I fear to look within because, well, I think I made another will. That's not true. You see, faulty, not true. Comma. And that somehow I made it real. Oh, shit. Right?
That's a proper use of that word.
But I had to put a little punctuation on there. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I did it. I did it. I made my separate self real. And if that's not in alignment with the will of love, and as you know, it's not because how much pain you suffer through, then this could be a really bad, disjunctive, rude, fearful, crazy awakening where I would have to say goodbye to something valuable. Goodbye to something valuable. I would have to say goodbye to something valuable. And that's where your mistake is. You've made a bunch of nothing. Out of nothing, you've made a bunch. Zero times 0,000000000008 billion times over for 4 billion years is still zero. And Jesus sees that. It's really obvious, but you don't. You think all those zeros mean something. Just keep lining up the zeros. See how many there are? And Jesus says, well, you got a point there. That's a lot of zeros. Billions, 14 billion years and 8 billion zeros shaped like humans. That's a lot of zero. I got to give that to you, Jesus said. I'm going to write you a Course in Miracles and let's talk about your zeros. And then when you're ready to do the math, that means you have to step outside of the form and you go back to the spirit of math, for example. Zero times zero, even zero times 0,000 is still zero. And that's this wonderful, simple realization of the truth. And it just frees your heart and your mind to come right back to the present moment where you've always been, but it allows you to come out of time. It's what the spiritual awakening is a release, releasing yourself, your commitment to your dream, your nightmare. And there is a fear to look within and have to do this math where with the ego's perception, you give up something valuable. The spirit's perception, no, this is total celebration. Let's get it on. Do you see?
This is such a beautiful passage. I feel like I want to memorize it and just sing it all the time. So
read it again.
Beautiful.
Read it again for us.
Within me is eternal innocence, because it is God's will that it be there forever and forever. I, his son, I'm starting to cry here. I, his son, whose will is limitless as his own, can will no change in this. For to deny my father's will is to deny my own. To look within is but to find my will as God created it and as it is. I fear to look within because I think I made another will that is not true and made it real, yet it has no effects. Within me is the holiness of God. Within me is the memory of him. The step I take today, my Father, is my sure release from idle dreams of sin. Your altar stands serene and undefiled. It is the holy altar to myself, and there I find my true identity.
Yay! Truly a celebration, Deborah. Truly a celebration. Beautiful. That's what we're doing tonight. Okay, back to page 454. In the text. Beautiful, beautiful.
Where do you have that movie, How the Course in Miracles was made? Anybody here have that movie?
You know, it's probably on YouTube. If you just do a search for a Course in Miracles movie, it's not.
I can't find it. Yeah.
Well, if you could figure out the title, get it to me and I'll see if it's in somewhere on my resources.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at some of the support that we're going to get from Jesus on this, the fear to look within. He says, the Holy Spirit, and let me remind you, that's the Holy Spirit. Spirit here is capitalized because it's the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit that lives within you. It's the unholy spirit. It's a spirit nonetheless. Ego thought system is complete and just as powerful. But the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, will never teach you that you are sinful, that you can make an error that can't be forgiven. Errors now, he will correct. But this makes, correcting the errors makes no one fearful. correcting the errors. Okay, so there must be something else. You are indeed afraid to look within and see the separation thoughts, the unforgivable thinking, the mistakes that you think is there. This you would not be fearful to admit because it seems overwhelming when you actually go to do this. Yeah. You know. Fear in association with sin, the ego deems quite appropriate. It says, I'm afraid of losing myself. Nobody has a problem admitting that. And it smiles approvingly. Well, good, because yourself is valuable, says the ego. So, of course, you should be afraid of losing it. There's something to lose, something valuable. It has no fear to let you feel ashamed. The ego doubts not your belief and faith in sin. The ego's temples do not shake because of this. Your faith that sin is there, but witnesses to your desire that it be there. You see, what he's talking about is in order for you to deny something, you have to believe it exists. It has to have some respect and a place and a description, and in order for you to try to deny it or to go against it, it must exist. Yeah. Thank you, Timothy. He put a course documentary YouTube link on your chat. You can copy that off onto your computer. Your faith that sin is there, but witnesses your desire that it be there to see. Now, this merely seems to be the source. This merely seems to be the source of fear. Now, can we knock the next? Yeah, let's go for paragraph 2. Okay, let's have Jacqueline, would you read for us paragraph 2?
Remember that the ego is not alone. Its rule is tempered, and its unknown enemy, whom it cannot see, it fears. Loudly the ego tells you not to look inward, for if you do, your eyes will light on sin, and God will strike you blind. This you believe, and so you do not look. Yet this is not the ego's hidden fear, nor yours who serve it. Loudly indeed the ego claims it is, too loudly and too often. For underneath this constant shout and frantic proclamation, the ego is not certain it is so. Beneath your fear to look within because of sin is yet another fear, and one which makes the ego tremble.
Okay, so that's why I say you can just stick with that first fear that it's describing, and you can say, yeah, that's a good lesson, and the ego's afraid to lose itself and therefore dedicated to survival. That's fine. That's a great lesson. I mean, that could be a whole lifetime of learning to do that. But we are called to go beyond. We must go beyond. We have to willfully release this thought system. You can take any aspect of the thought system and use your rational, reasonable mind and go at, with the help of the Holy Spirit, any piece of your world, the world, and say, show me how to see this differently. Show me how to see this differently. And because of you're now joining the will of God or oneness, then you will be answered. The Holy Spirit, no matter what aspect you take, you will be answered, and Jesus will then appear to be holding your hand as you sort through and try using your reasonable, rational mind to try to find an answer to where is love here? Where is the highest capital L love here with whatever you've chosen to look at? Let me give you an endpoint that you would be steering to before we close the meeting, so what I just said makes a little more sense. Because everybody's doing this. Everybody, you each in your own way, that's part of your creative contribution, is that you are coming back to love out of a sincere desire for your home. Each of you in your own way, nobody could possibly tell you what and how you're going to do it, because you are a creative contributor to love in your journey home. Let me just give you the end point, though, before we close the meeting. Go to page 324. I just discovered this page a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, this is really great. So you're going to hear it a lot. Page 324, paragraph 7, top of the page. I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. This is really saying a lot. What a great way to end the meeting. Let's have Ross read for us paragraph 7.
When the body ceases to attract you, and when you place no value on it as a means of getting anything, then there will be no interference in communication, and your thoughts will be as free as God's. As you let the Holy Spirit teach you how to use the body only for purposes of communication, and renounce its use for separation and attack, which the ego sees in it, you will learn you have no need of a body at all. In the holy instant, there are no bodies, and you experience only the attraction of God. Accepting it as undivided, you join him wholly in an instant, for you would place no limits on your union with him. The reality of this relationship becomes the only truth you could ever want. All truth is here.
Did you see that, what he just read? He says, look at sentence 4. Accepting it as undivided, you join him wholly. That's a big sentence. But you do this fully willingly, fully with all your awareness, finally letting go of the need and the value of a body and a separate existence. Then you flow with awakenness and awareness of what you truly are. You flow back into the beautiful expansion of God's mind, which is a loving, eternal expansion. You doing your part, not separate, but individual. You are a thought of God. You have to reawaken to that. But, you know, look at this. I mean, so much is right here. So let me just go back even a sentence more, since we have a couple of minutes. We do. In the holy instant, right? The holy instant, that great moment out of time, timeless awareness occurs. You have eternal thoughts. You have these unlimited awareness. Even revelation goes on you, and you just don't fit in your body for a moment. It's holy instant. There are no bodies, of course. And you're still there in the holy instant. Holy instant is this moment of awakening. It's a correction moment. that you are not resisting. Experience only the attraction of God, the attraction of truth. Gladly, 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 and it's an attraction. Accepting this attraction, it is undivided. Since it's undivided, you join God wholly. And how fast do you join God? Do you walk? Do you run? Do you wait? Do you even try? No. No. Because you're returning yourself into, back to the absolute nature of love yourself, and there's no delay. So it's an instant. It's an instant. What is an instant? This is a time interval with no time. And a journey without distance is an instant. And so it goes non-linear. That's why I love that those words are in there so carefully there for you if you want to drink them in. In an instant. Because you would put no limits on your union with God. Being that now you recognize this is your home. It's your true home. It's not just your inheritance. It's what you've made from. It's from where you have come. It's where you were designed to exist. It is everything that not only you wanted, but what gave you the ability to want. Comfort is too small of a word for your exuberation to go back to the comfort of your home from where you were created forever and forever. The whole idea of time and suffering was all just a bad dream that you were working on. And we're talking here when the body ceases to attract you and you place no value on it as a means of getting anything. Then you start to, you have the ability to look inward to the spirit of yourself and no longer outward to the form that you've taken. There's so much in this one paragraph. Isn't that incredible? Oh, the reality of this relationship, it's a relationship. That means you still exist in some way to have a relationship. So worried is the ego that something so valuable as your separate body would be losing something valuable. In this relationship, it becomes the only truth that you could ever want. That's the only truth there is. How easy! How easy when you can see one choice. Okay, great. Well, we did great. We're going to do some more next week. Tune in for more fun on the fear to look within and the joy of looking within.
What page were we on just now?
We were just on 324.
That's the text.
In the text, yeah. 324, paragraph 7. Top of the page.
Oh, 7. I got 24 in paragraph 4. That's why.
Yeah, that's right, huh? Yeah, well, pretty soon that's going to be one of those heavily highlighted paragraphs in your book. Thanks, Jason. See ya.
Hi, Jason. Yeah.
Good, good. All right. Well, return next week for more fun.
See you guys week after next.
Okay,
we're going to miss you.
I'm out of town.
Enjoy your travel. Jacqueline? Would you show me the Tonka behind you on the wall? I always see just the bottom part of it. And I can tell it's a Tibetan Tonka.
Jacqueline, come back.
There it is. It's a blue Buddha, a medicine Buddha.
Green Tara.
It's a Tara.
Oh, green Tara. Yeah, that's
green
it.
Green Tara. Yeah. I have a white Tara also, Tonka.
Tonka is a remarkable word. It means recorded message.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was a way of passing down the story.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about your green Tara?
Well,
She's beautiful. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a time, especially I experienced the energy of Tara personally in my life. And she's all the colors. The different colors represent different aspects. And I should know what the green Tara. Do you know, Tim? I don't remember anymore. I just, it's been...
What is her meaning, or...?
Green tar is that compassion? There's different...
Deborah, you recognize it as a Tara at all. What do you know about this?
Well, I was wondering if it's the healing, the green is a healing Tara, and I can't tell. Does she have one foot that's ready to step out and aid, to come to the aid of people? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay, that's right, healing.
Yeah, and the blue Buddha is the medicine Buddha, which is the male figure. The Tibetan is wonderful because it places almost equal emphasis on male and female divine forms, unlike Judeo-Christianity, where they seem to have tossed out anybody except for Mother Mary, but God is left alone, and as Thurman says, he's a famous Tibetan guy, that God gets all overheated. He needs his female companion, and he's alone. And so he gets angry and throws thunderbolts and smites and, you know, turns people into pillars of salt. And that's because he's missing his female counterparts, which are present in the Hindi and the Tibetan and Nepalese.
Isn't that amazing that there are some females through time that the males could not erase from history? Mm-hmm. There are a couple that were just so powerful, so wonderful, you could not erase them, even though I'm sure the men tried. There, Hatshepsut, going back way to Egypt, she was a pharaoh, and she knew she had to play the part of a male to be pharaoh, but you know what? It was time for somebody to take the lead, and she had what it takes, and they said, "Lady, you have what it takes." So she put on the male wig and put on a beard. Obviously, it was a woman. And they painted her as a woman with a woman's body. Hatshepsut, very, very powerful. Still today, even after, you know, all the history of Egypt, the largest obelisk ever made, of course, it's Hatshepsut's obelisk still standing in Karnak. Others have fallen with the earthquakes, and some have been stolen. But this massive, huge, biggest accomplishment was by a woman, Hatshepsut. They could not erase her. She was too big, bigger than life. She gave too much. She was too beneficial. She was too great. Yeah, it's amazing. Another one is Catherine the Great in Russia. Mm-hmm. Just too wonderful. Just too good. Just too excellent. You can't erase that. In fact, they had to promote her to get as much out of her as she could, as they could, for the benefit of everybody. Amazing, amazing woman. Just amazing. What are some other great, great, great women of history?
Mary Magdalene, if you read Gary Renard's book.
Yeah.
Oops, plural.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk her up pretty good.
Oh, and how about Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, could have been marginalized.
She is the one who's consistently placed, you know, really in the Gothic period in particular, almost on a par with Jesus himself.
Yes, yes, exactly. Who was that woman? Yeah. Who was that woman? And I learned that the Quran only addresses one woman by name, and it's Mary. Quran, you know, they're not into women. They should be cloistered and hidden, except for that woman. That woman somehow could not be marginalized. Mary, mother of Jesus, no less. Did you know in the Quran that Mary is actually mentioned by name more times than Muhammad?
Yeah.
How is that possible? So highly revered is that woman. So highly revered.
Jesus is understood to be a saint in that theology.
Prophet.
You know, even if it's not on a, you know, peer with Muhammad.
Yeah, high respect. High respect for Jesus. More respect for Mary. Somehow.
Go figure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, everybody, thanks. Thanks for studying Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you for a great class tonight. All of you.
Bye. Thank you, Deborah. Special thank you.
Safe travels, Ross.
All right. Safe travels. Have a good trip, Ross.
Bye,
everybody.
Lots of love.